I want to bring something to your attention. I put it on the Facebook page last night, and I have to tell you, this really, I don't know why, this really bothered me a lot. Girl I went to high school with, and I think I talked about this. No, I wasn't very close with her or anything like that. Like, I know her, I remember her, and we, you know, we've talked, and she lived in, I guess she lives in Georgia, and earlier this year, she had a husband and two kids, and earlier this year, her husband and her young son were killed in a jet ski accident. Like, I never met her husband. I don't know her kids. I haven't seen her since high school. But because we're Facebook friends, you can kind of follow along. And she was always like one of the sweet girls, and they seem like a very happy family. It's terrible. I know a lot of people from high school who are in marriages they don't want to be in and all right. that. You find one that you think is great, and that's who it happens to. And I can't, when you have kids, you can't think of a worse tragedy than losing your kid. But anyway, this is beyond that. So that time has gone by, and other than, again, Facebook communication, I don't talk to this girl, but she seems to be very strong. For a while, I know she was posting a lot of pictures and memories of the two of them, and then she seemed to try to move on with her life. She's still got another daughter, and, you know, if you don't move on, you end up going crazy, and she seems to be a very strong woman. Yesterday, she gets a letter in the mail that I think is the lowest form of vulturism. It is the lowest form of solicitation. It should not be legal, and it is almost as bad as preying on the elderly and the mentally challenged. I want to read the letter for you. It says, "Dear Deborah, first and most importantly, may I offer my condolences on the passing of your loved one, John. I realize this may be a difficult time for you, so I will keep this letter short." Do you have any idea where this is going?
Something about some sort of insurance or...
Worse. "The reason I'm contacting you is I understand that your house on Fernstone Terrace may be available for purchase." Why would you understand that? Like, why would you think that?
Because
you're just assuming because he died,
right,
she can no longer afford the house.
Because she's just a woman. He was the breadwinner, so...
Right. "We have been buying estate properties in Georgia for many years, and I understand that losing a loved one is very difficult, and selling a property now may not be a priority of your family. So then why bother her with this? Yeah. Taking care of this sooner rather than later may save the estate time and additional costs, but we are also available when you are ready. We are able to pay cash, settle without contingencies, and close as quickly as you'd like. Because we are buy houses as is, because we buy houses as is, you don't have to worry about repairs, updates, removing unwanted items, cleaning, etc. If what we do seems like it may help you, please give us a call, blah, blah, blah. Respectfully, Fran Holland, who's supposedly a representative of Metro House Buyers in Alpharetta, Georgia." This, to me, if you've known anybody who has lost someone, this is the biggest scumbag move I have ever seen. You think that this woman who has the fresh deaths of her husband and young child on her mind is sitting there now, still going through it, still living it day in, day out, having to worry about what she will do for the future, and then these vultures swoop in and try to take advantage of that.
But here's the interesting thing, is had they not mentioned the deaths, like, that's a totally, like, let her make the decision on her own. Say,
right,
hey, if you want to sell your house,
oh, no,
this is what we do, this,
they
that.
They are absolutely preying on the fact
but
that
yeah,
there is a death.
That's the thing. That's the terrible thing about
they
it.
They're reminding you that there is a death. They are letting you know that, hey, you could have let the house go, and you could be sitting there crumpled up in a corner crying every night, and we'll just come in and take this big burden of this home away from you. By the way, their home is already paid off, and
nice.
She doesn't need this person. But I put this on our Facebook page, and because I was completely offended. I'm offended as a human being, not as a friend of this girl. I mean, I honestly don't know her very well since high school. I haven't really seen her. So I don't, I am not like trying to stick up for my friend. I just think that this is atrocious. And how, I mean, think about it. If you lost, and I'm sure this goes on with a lot of people, you lose your parents, and immediately you start getting letters from the folks that, oh, well, listen, it's a hard time, but we have a beautiful place that you can put your mother to rest in this garden over here, where, and they're trying to sell you plots for $30,000. I mean, death is the absolutely the most expensive thing that you're going to. Anybody ever have to go through that?
No, what
about your mom? Was she cremated or did she?
She's cremated.
Buried? That seems to be a lot easier of a process, but man, I went and sat in on funeral arrangements for my sister-in-law years ago, and man, they just pour it on to you. oh, I mean, we have these here, but then we have a nice silk-lined casket where
right.
she'd be so comfortable in there.
Say that?
Oh, my God. I'm the one who is kind of detached from the situation, so I wanted to stand up so many times and go, you've got to be kidding me. That's why I always say on the air, look, have my grandfather, if he's still alive, build me a box and break my legs if you have to get me into it. Find me, if you can find any sort of box to put me in and I'm too tall, just snap my knees backwards. I'm dead.
I don't care.
I know you would, Spanish. And I thank you for that. But it's unnecessary for you to waste your time. I put this on the Facebook page and there's 50-something comments already on there from people, most of them, who had to go through the same thing. This poor guy lost my wife to cancer in April, and I get many of these letters.
Wow.
It's a pain in the ass when I'm in my house and my home phone rings. We just ignore it because nobody even has that phone number. Every once in a while, I'll try and talk to it because the kids like to listen to me do a really racist Asian accent while I'm talking. But for the most part, it's just solicitors. I answered. Marco Rubio called me the other day. Hello? Hi, this is Marco Rubio. You need to vote for me. No, I don't click. In fact, if I was on the fence, you'd just push me over to the other side of the guy because I don't want you to bother me. At least Donald Trump, when he calls, it says Donald Trump's calling. Yeah. You're like, all right, I'm not talking to this guy. I don't want him to try and grab anybody by the pee in this house. And then lately, I've been getting phone calls. I don't know why this is legal or if it is, because I know political calls can't be on the block list. But I keep getting calls about solar energy, not the voting on it or are you wanted yes or no. It's people right now, you should take advantage. I got it. I already have solar and I don't need you. I'm not going to buy something over the phone to somebody who just called me out of the blue.
I had great news the other day. They called me and told me that I could have my student loans reduced.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
From high school?
I guess, because I didn't go to college at all. Never applied. Never did
You got your student loans reduced. I get calls every day. Congratulations. My business has been approved for millions of dollars.
Oh, man.
So sometimes I go, all right.
Pete's Pickles.
I stay on the phone and I go, just give it to me. And they're like, well, how much would you need? I go, what's the most I can get? As I tell them. They're like, well, how much does your business need? I go, I don't know. Give me like $2 million. Because I'm going to take it. I'm going to have them send it to me and I'm going to keep it. it is absolutely ridiculous. Megan, you're on the Mike Calda Show, though.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
I just want to let you know, after the recession, I lost my job and took a small office job with a guy who said real estate. And he was flipping houses. And one morning he asked me to go through the obituaries, and that's what they do. They wanted me to go through and find out who died, who might have real estate, and those are the types of letters and phone calls they would do. And I was mortified because I have integrity, so I never went back. But they all these guys where you see we buy houses fast for cash. They all look through the obituaries. It's disgusting. I'm glad you brought it up.
I got to tell you, there's even something a little bit less offensive about looking through the obituaries and saying, all right, let's keep an eye on this property, see if it goes for sale. But to go to find it and then start preying on the woman who lives there, hey, I know you miss your husband, George.
That's horrible.
That is terrible. Thank you for the call. That is, to me, the lowest form of sales. I wouldn't have anything to do with a company that does this. And look, I'm a business is business kind of guy sometimes, but not when it comes to a family tragedy like this. I'm sorry. It's even below my scale. Roger, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. I just want to tell you, it's weird. My grandpa had passed years ago, and my grandma, when she got close to passing, we moved her up to North Carolina to stay with my mom. So her house was sitting here. But the rest of our family here kept it up. We had lawn service, blah, blah, blah. But she wasn't even gone yet. And they were harassing, not harassing, but they were on our family. It was letters and phone calls, let's sell the house and all this stuff.
Yeah. Like,
just back off, dudes.
Right. And it's the most inappropriate time. It really is the most inappropriate time. Thank you, Roger. When somebody is sitting there, it's still fresh, and you're hoping, when you send this letter, that you're getting them at an absolute, the lowest time because you want them to be mentally crushed and just take it. And because now there's some of you might be thinking, well, I mean, it sounds pretty good to me. I mean, if they're having a hard time and this company's willing to come in.
Yeah, but it's not what it seems.
Well, because they're not going to give you what the house is worth. They're going to go there. They're going to assess the value of the house. They're going to say, well, there is a lot of repairs that need to be done, is we can give you $200,000 less. Then they're going to go in there, they're going to fix it up a little bit, and they're going to make a gazillion dollars off it. That's what they do. It's a horrible, horrible situation. Doug, good morning.
Hey, Mike. How's it doing?
Good.
Hey, I just heard your story about the girl. I'm sorry, I'm in a parking garage.
It's all right.
But I agree with you. It's despicable, but at the same time, and I'm a little bit older than you, and I like Happy Days, and I like the Fonzie, but he goes on and does these reverse mortgage.
Well, let me ask you, but I was going to bring that up. The reverse mortgages, I used to think were a bad situation, and I looked into it. So
terrible.
Well, but here's where I think a reverse mortgage looks good. And also, reverse mortgage isn't coming to your house when you have a loved one that died and said, hey, we're going to help you out. What reverse mortgage is saying, hey, look, you're 70 years old, 80 years old, whatever it is. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have any family. Let us pay your bills. You give us the house, and we'll pay your mortgage until you die. That doesn't seem like that bad of a deal unless you have family, unless you have kids, because you want to leave the house to somebody. But if you're an older person, why is that so bad?
Okay, if you don't have anybody to leave it to, that might be something.
Right.
If they take advantage of the elderly,
yes,
and they con the elderly into something that says, okay, your house right now is worth $100,000. You owe $50,000 on it. We'll give you $50,000 for it.
Right, but by the time they go,
let's just say they hang on, because I just went through this with my girlfriend.
Right,
and so her mom and her stepdad got $50,000. Okay, 10 years ago.
Right.
By the time they're gone, they got $20,000 left on it, but her daughter now had to go through hell to get rid of the house.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you have family and there's a next generation and somebody that you're going to leave something to, or somebody that you hope is going to handle your estate, it's not a good idea. But if you're a lonely old person and you know that you only have 20 years or so left to live and you want to do the reverse mortgage, I don't think that's a bad idea. I really don't. I think that you need to look into it, but the same thing applies, though. Is where they do prey, and the largest group that they prey on is the elderly. And they'll call you up, and because here's the deal. If you're retired, you're living on a fixed income. You're probably afraid of coming up short on money. You have health insurance through the government. You're wondering, you got to count every penny. And then they're constantly saying, hey, do you know your roof is going to fall apart? Do you know that we're going to have a huge hurricane season? You should get those new windows. And when you're an old person, you're like, I'm alone. I don't want my windows to blow in.
Yeah.
And they scare them into doing these sort of things. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff.
You know what? On a reverse mortgage, you know who pays for all those repairs?
Repairs?
Yeah. If
who?
You need a new roof. If you need a new roof while it's in reverse mortgage, you know who pays for it?
Who?
The person living in that house.
Oh really? Yeah. I would imagine they have to handle any repairs while they're still alive. Yeah, I appreciate the call, and the reverse mortgages are, I think, good for a certain group of people. And still, when they had the former senator, what was his name, Thompson, Fred Thompson?
Yes,
he would do those commercials, and I'm like, that's a little sketchy because he just seems like he's an authority figure in the government, and he's telling you should do this. And,
right.
But Henry Winkler is just like a nice old man. He's like,
yeah.
Hey, let me tell you about a reverse mortgage. Tom, hold on. Aaron, there you go, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to say that ambulance chasing is illegal, where you prey upon people who are just going through a tragedy, and this is the same exact tactic.
Yep.
You wait for somebody to go through something terrible, and then you hope to take advantage of their emotional state.
Yeah.
I bought a new car this year, and all of a sudden I get a bunch of letters about your warranty, your car could blow up, you know, just stupid crap.
Oh, I get it every day, Aaron. I go through cars every year. I'll buy a new car, and I'll trade an old one in and buy a new car, and I get calls all the time. Mr. Calta, you need to talk to us. Your warranty is going to run out. And I go, oh, my God. And I go, when's it going to run out? And they're like, the end of this month. And I'm like, and which vehicle are you talking about? They're like, your Chevy Avalanche. I go, oh, I got rid of that car 6 years ago, so I think we're in good shape. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to buy a warranty when I got the vehicle. I didn't take it then. I'm not taking it now.
Yeah, from some company that's outsourcing solicitors from India to call you and tell you about how your plan is ending. Thank you for the call, sir. You know, if you own a business, That's the worst. You do anything on Google and they get a hold of your phone number, you should see when I sit in Pete's office, the amount of times his phone rings and it's just people who are, I want to give you a loan. I'm going to fix your website. I'm going to do, oh my God. Carmen, do you think these people are there yet? Let's try and call them.
Yeah, we can.
Thank you. This is Fran Holland from Metro House Buyers. Now, I have done a little bit of a research. I tried to find Miss Holland. I assume Miss Holland, Fran. Cannot find it anywhere. The number, the phone number that goes with Metro Houses happens to also be for a satellite television company.
Oh, really?
And, so I don't know if they have a double business deal or what they're doing. No one from this company can seem to be tracked down on the internet either. So one of our listeners did some pretty in-depth research last night. And if you want to see it, it's up at the Mike Halter Show Facebook page, facebook.com/TheMikeHalterShow.
Question.
Hold on. I'm trying to call Fran Holland right now.
We want to sell our house.
You too, bye.
Oh, what happened?
So the secretary or whoever answered and said that she wasn't available, and he was like, would you like to leave your info? I said, no, I'll call back.
He wasn't available?
No, she wasn't available. Okay. He said she wasn't available.
Will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Call right back, but keep the microphone by your mouth.
Okay.
I want you to ask them, say, is there really a Fran Holland?
Okay.
Say, is that a person, or is that just a name you put on a letter? So I just called, and I want to talk to Fran Holland, but is that a real person, or is that a name you just put on a letter?
Okay.
And what do they answer the phone as?
House.
Metro House Buyers?
Yeah.
Or do they just say House Buyers?
Metro House Buyers.
Okay. So just say to them, say, hey, I just called about Fran Holland.
Hi, is Mrs. Holland available?
Trying to get to the bottom of this scam.
When is the office available?
Say, is there actually a Fran Holland?
10 a.m.
Say, is there, is Fran Holland, will Fran Holland be in?
Will Mrs. Holland be in? Mrs. Oh, so the receptionist is, or you guys aren't in the same building?
Oh, well, it's a
service.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mrs. Holland real? Or is that just a name that you put on your letters? She is real. Okay, perfect. Well, then I'll try calling back around 10 o'clock when you guys are open.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Thank you.
By the way, if you want to call and voice your opinion, you can go to metrohousebuyers.com and get the information there or on our Facebook page.
So, yeah, I guess it's like an answering service. Outside,
I still don't think Mrs. Holland real like that commercial we run. That's like, you want to talk to Big Lou? Big Lou's got himself a third divorce and some girlfriends, and we tried to call her, and Big Lou's not real.
There's a couple of Fran Hollands that come up for that area in Georgia. But I don't know. I have home phone numbers if we want to go that route.
No, we don't.
I believe she is. I believe she is real, and her husband is a music teacher at a high school.
Mr. Holland's Opus?
Yes. Does he have an Opus?
I don't know.
They have a deaf child.
Oh, that's perfect.
The whole thing.
Question, if you are a business owner, and let's say you dabble in a little of this or that, is there an appropriate amount of time to have gone by to reach out to someone if they have a loved one that's passed away?
Say that again now.
If you're a business owner, and you know, you're a salesperson, and you know, maybe you're going about it the legal way instead of doing this shady business, would you consider there to be a right amount of time before you reached out to someone to do something like that if they wanted to sell their house?
No. I also, if I had a business that was pretty legit, like, listen, so I don't have any idea what how much this woman's house is worth. Say it's worth $100,000.
Right.
It's probably worth more, but just say $100,000. Okay? And I know that she's behind a couple of payments, and she may be going into foreclosure. She may be in a danger. Then it might be an appropriate time to send a letter and say, I know you had some tragedy. I see you're behind in your payments. Our business buys houses. You don't have to worry about repairs or anything. If you need us, call us. This one here is just completely preying on the news that there's been a death. They did exactly what the other caller said. They go through the obituaries. They put a little yellow stamp on it and says, call in 3 months. And that's what they do. And that's disgusting.
That is pretty bad.
That's absolutely disgusting.
Just wanted to play a little devil's advocate just in case there's, you know.
You are a devil.
What are you selling? What's your business selling?
That's the thing. Yeah. Is like, pretty as definitely. I was asking, I was wondering what you could entice somebody with if there was. The only thing that I could really think of is money. So, you know, if you would give them money in exchange for whatever.
Gold. You always buy the gold.
Yeah. If the old you know, if you know an old person has a lot of gold and their husband or wife just died and you want that gold. How, you know, is there a right amount of time before
you're called a pirate?
Yeah.
Get that booty.
By the way, if you're an old lady and your husband died and he had some guns left over, you should call me too. Yeah, I can turn that into some easy cheese.
Or a Ferrari that he only drove to church.
Yeah. I'll take care of that. But even that, I mean, it just to me, it is the, it is extremely, extremely gross. I would have been just as angry about that if it came to me from any stranger, any listener who told me about it. It has nothing to do with that I know this woman. Because I don't really know her anymore that well other than Facebook. But
what if, say, you were looking for an RV? You're looking for an RV or your Airstream trailer, okay? Say you're looking for an Airstream trailer thing, and you see an ad, and it has it for $500. And you're like, all right, but it looks good in the pictures and stuff. Let me go check this out. And it's an old lady, and she tells you her husband just died 2 weeks ago. She doesn't really know what to do with it and stuff, and it's for $500, and you can tell that it's worth like $20,000. What do you do? Ooh. Do you buy it from her for $500, or do you tell her, hey, it's worth more than that?
No, I'm not. Somebody told me that. Somebody told me they went to, it was a valet guy. It was a valet guy who just bought a Hummer. He liked my Hummer. And he said, I bought one from an old lady whose husband had it in the garage. He said, I went there and she told me she wanted $1,000 for it, and I gave her $2,000. He said, I gave her $2,000. Yeah. I told her it was worth more, and I gave her $2,000. That is nice. In that case, you have to use your judgment. If I go there and she is in a trailer and she's looks like she's eating cat food and she's trying to sell it, I go, hey, lady, you can make way more money off this.
She has a modest house. Nothing.
If I go there and she's like, I just want it off my property, I take it for $500.
Yeah.
If she's like, I just want it out of here, I never liked it, I don't want it anymore, I'm just trying to make a couple of bucks off it, I give her the $500 and I run.
Right, but what if she just says, I don't know, I put it in for $500, I don't know what it's worth. And
then I probably, if she says that to me, I probably cave and I probably tell her.
Oh.
I probably tell her, look, here's what I would say, though.
And then, you know what happens? So you wind up giving her like $2,000, and as you're driving away, she's counting it, and she goes, it works every time.
Sucker.
And then all of a sudden, the wheels fall off.
Then I go back and stab her.
Oh, yeah, no.
You kill
she's
her
gone.
Husband.
She already moved.
The other thing is that, it depends on the situation. Like, if you talk to her and you know what she's about, you know what I mean? If she's like, I just want it out of here, or if she's like, I don't know.
It reminds me of my husband.
Yeah. If she's like, I'm desperate for money, I just want to, then you. So if I go there and I have a $10,000 budget and she tells me $500, I could say to her, look, I'll give you $5,000. She'll be thrilled. Yeah. I'll still be thrilled. And we all win.
What if it was a Corvette and you're looking for the Corvette and you go and it winds up being a Ferrari and she has no idea. She's like, I don't know. My husband loved it. It's a Corvette.
And how much you want for it?
And it's a Ferrari. And
how much does she want for it?
She wants $5,000.
Then I go there and I go, This lady, this isn't even a Corvette. This is ridiculous. I'll give you like $300 for it.
Yeah. You guys are wrong.
My God. Yeah.
You go and you don't pay her anything. You snap her neck so she can go be with her husband. Now you get the car for it, but you're that reuniting love.
You can't snap her neck. They can look at that in autopsies. Yeah.
Yeah, do it
push
like
her.
Negan hit her in the head
you
with
push
the
her, you push her on the stairs and you go, I rang the doorbell and she fell coming down. But she said, take the Ferrari.
Call the old lady.
Glenn, pop her eye out.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. Well,
if you haven't watched yet. No,
hey, let's talk about that now real quick. Glenn's Eye was pretty good.
Dude, it was so awesome.
That's a great name for a band, Glenn's Eye.
Glenn's Eye.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
My dad passed away a couple of years ago, and him and my mom have bought cars from the same car dealership for like 15 years. Like 2 weeks after he passed away, the dealership called wanting to know if my mom wanted to buy it, if they could buy his truck back.
I have to tell you, that doesn't seem to me, and I may be wrong, but if they had a relationship with the dealer, like I've known Steve Hurley for years, and if I died and he called my wife and said, hey, you don't need that guy's truck, you want us to buy it back, I almost think that that's somewhat helpful.
Yeah, with her, though, when it just was happening, she was like, no way, why are you even calling?
I mean, like,
were they lowballing her too? Yeah,
that could be a thing. It may be terrible. I'm just saying that if it's a dealership that you have a long term relationship with, they may their intentions may have been good. I'm not saying in this case it necessarily was, but I could see somebody like Steve Hurley reaching out and saying, "Hey, you know, no sense in you having to worry more.
Right.
Let us buy this back." And you know, they didn't say, "Hey, bring it down here." They said, "Let us buy it back from you." The idea is reaching out to strangers that you don't know in their worst mental state and trying to get them to do something that's going to benefit you. Yeah. That's where you become somebody who prays. Brenda, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Oh, excellent. I just was listening to you guys talking about the reverse mortgage, and they absolutely prey on people like that. And especially if you have a surviving spouse, because I help people with short sales a lot, and that's people that are behind on mortgages that can't make that payment anymore.
Right.
And they absolutely go after them. But usually in that situation, if there's a surviving spouse, the bank will work with them, you know, and do a short sale if they can't afford it and
right.
so on. But they do prey on people like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I started to think, like, my in-laws are in their 70s, and, you know, they're at a point where they're looking for a house. And if they're not stuck in one, but if they were stuck in one and they were, and you know, they're in their 70s, and if they got a reverse mortgage where somebody paid for their mortgage for the next 25 years, and you know, God, you know, hope they live longer than that. But if they don't. I mean, granted, they have kids and they should have to worry about that. But if they're lonely and they didn't have anybody and they don't want to make those payments anymore, I don't think that's. I think that's a good out. Yeah, the company's going to make it up for in the end, but you don't care. You're dead.
Yeah, they will. They'll absolutely. Well, the whole point of that is if they are by themselves and they do pass away, that they did not give them more than what the house is worth, because obviously the bank wants that back because they know they're going to make money off of it.
Yeah.
They can't sell it.
Yeah, and I understand that. I understand that, you know, it's going to be profitable for the company that buys the house. I don't think it's that big of a deal if you don't have any family. Or if your rotten kids don't want to help you out when you're older, then you go, good. Well, guess what? Henry Winkler's company is getting my house when I die.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, Punkin. Is that my friend Debbie that's on the phone?
Yes.
Hi, Debbie. How are you, Punkin?
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Very emotional, as you can tell. I can't thank you enough for doing this, and there's so many people out there that are really good and that care.
Yeah.
What's hard is that these greedy son of a bitches, you know, this is not the first one, and I had a guy that hounded me and kept calling, and I wrote letters and I told him that not to call, and anyway, and they just pray, and they look for you when you're at your worst. And yesterday for me happened to be a really bad day, so when I got that letter, you know, it's just a reminder.
Yeah.
But they're not here anymore, you know.
Yeah, as if you hadn't been through enough. You have to have some strangers trying to take financial advantage of you on a bad day, on any day.
You wish, and maybe somebody smarter than me could figure it out, is there a way to scam them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you set them up since they're trying to do this stuff, where you could be like, oh yeah, sure, and do stuff and wind up screwing them over.
Yeah, I mean, Debbie seems too nice for that. We're the kind of scumbags that do that.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I have to tell you, that's why I wanted to talk about this today on the air. And she put this on her Facebook page, which is private.
Right.
So only her friends could see it. So it's not like she was like, oh, go attack them. But I was extremely offended by this. I couldn't understand why this woman who has been through such a horrendous tragedy would have to deal with these strangers coming in the guise of, oh, we're here to help you, when you know they're there to solely take advantage of you. I think it's terrible, and I appreciate you letting me talk about it. And don't worry, it's not over for Ms. Holland. My listeners are the absolute worst people that you want as enemies, and they don't like to see people taken advantage of. Not saying that they should necessarily call them, but I have a feeling in my heart that they will.
Yeah.
I am also going to try and call back later, even though they said after 10 o'clock. I'll see what I can do. I might stick around a little late and make some phone calls today. I'm so sorry you have to deal with this, but you know, hopefully you shed a little light on a situation like this, and at least we can make Miss Holland's at least day miserable.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you know, I was feeling a little bit bad about it, but then I'm thinking, you know, we're living in this politically correct world, and everyone wants to, you know, not offend anyone, but yet you've got people like this praying, and not just me. I'm not the only one.
Right.
I mean, there's, you know. And then we don't And then no one does anything about it, and so it continues to go on. So the people are just constantly being hurt. You got these greedy people that just, you know, whatever they can do to make a buck, they don't care if they step on you. They don't care if you're having a crappy day. They don't care who you lost, yeah. when you lost it.
And thank God that you're, like, a particularly strong person. I mean, I can see the way you handle things, and I would just be flipping out right now. But think about, like, somebody who is not as mentally right. strong, and they're exactly. breaking down, and they're losing their house now, and these people right. are in essence stealing from them because yes. they take advantage of them at a weak moment.
Exactly, and that's why I put it on there, because it's feeling bad. I don't want to be that person, but at the same time, somebody's got to do something, because we're falling apart, and, yeah. and it's just everybody's stomping on everybody to catch a buck, and you know, who cares?
I may be getting a little old, but no, we're not too old to go beat somebody up either right. if we have to, so just
yeah.
let us know.
I'd like to practice a throw punch.
Hey, it's great to hear from you, and I will keep you updated on what happens over here. Thanks for the call, Pumpkin.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you, Debbie.
I'm getting a call from Zephyr Hills right now.
Oh.
Watch this. Unknown number. Hold on. Hello?
Michael.
Oh, sorry. That was me. I keep getting a call from Zephyr Hills, and every time I answer, they go, congratulations, your business loan has been approved. I thought, how ironic would that be? Anyway, sad situation, but something also to look out for. You never know when tragedy is going to strike your family, and if something happened to you, whether it be a family member or somebody that you're financially associated with, know that these people are out there and looking for you after you've gone through this to take advantage of you at a weak moment, and it's ridiculous. Unless you have a cool friend from high school who's got a very popular morning show and is a real, at heart, an evil person.
Morning justice.
Then you can kind of expose a little light on these things.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.